Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Roy Middleton shooting took place, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement reports investigation has come back, and so we're looking forward to talking to Captain Alexander about an update, you know, where things are and how to respond to that. Remember, Roy was just in his car under his porch, and was it 15
shots.
Times the, not all, but just one or two deputies that were there from the Escambia County Sheriff's Department began to just offload, you know, and we don't even know what the report is yet, and we're going to be able to talk to Captain Alexander today, and we're looking forward to that, so stay tuned to VFN Radio for that. Also, of course, he is assistant pastor of Jesus Holy Tabernacle Church in the Pensacola area, but we walked together for years. I look forward to, you know, I was in law enforcement for quite a few years and had a chance to work with him, but also work with him in the ministry of reaching out to the fatherless.
Yeah.
And just a real good man, godly man, and one that we can respect his opinion. You know, you want to get it, because a lot of people have a different viewpoints and all that. But
it matters whose viewpoint you have.
Yeah, it matters. It matters. And so, stay tuned to a live interview that we're going to have with Captain David Alexander of the Pensacola Police Department on the Gulf Coast, where the Roy Middleton shooting took place just a little small while. And I didn't realize that there was another investigation going on of a man that was murdered in another area. But we just got to talk to him about it and find out, you know, what's going on. All we know is we have written to Mr. Middleton, and his left thigh is just shattered, and he has a bar in his leg, I believe is what he said, and asked for us to pray for him and for his protection, and just I could totally understand, and I know the CNN was interviewing Roy, and they were asking him a lot of questions, and he said, what do you want? And he goes, I just want to know why this happened.
Right.
You know, so many people are talking about other things, and it's like, I just want to know why this happened. You know, you think about it. If you don't know why this happened, and we don't know why, we want to know, and we're looking forward to hear what the investigation has said. But it's a very vulnerable feeling when not only are your constitutional rights violated, but you're in your own driveway and somebody, you know, fires 15 shots at you from the dark, and in the context of that. Then you're told that the public is told because you didn't listen to commands, you know, they shot more at you. And it's like, I'm shot in my leg.
In your house.
I mean, I hit my elbow and I have to rub it for a while. If you offload on my and you shoot me, it's going to take me a moment. You know, I was watching a study on the sinking of a cruise liner, and they said this typical process, the way the brain thinks, is that people don't believe what's happening. It takes a while for your brain to kick in. Okay, this ship is sinking. And then you have this false sense of security, and you start looking to people to give you directions, and then you find that the people giving you directions are in the same boat that you're in, and then they realize these people aren't being truthful. They're just talking out their head because they don't know the answers to this thing. And then the next phase, they realize, we're going to have to make our own decisions here.
Right.
And they realize, we got to start getting off this boat. Mm-hmm. We got to start getting off this boat. And that's a lot of processes you have to go through, by the way. And they weren't shot.
Right.
They weren't shot. You know what I'm saying? It took them all this, and this is a typical, they say, this is kind of the typical response of human nature. Well, when somebody fires, you know, offloads bullets into your car while you're digging around for a cigarette in your carport under 5 feet away from your door, approximately 5 feet away from your door, I'm sure there's some processes you have to go through when, because I remember being shot at, you know, when I was making an arrest. I remember I was making an arrest and it was dark. And the particular man was using, selling cocaine, and I was making this arrest with him, and it was just pitch dark. And he was not wanting to go with me. So I was having to use my techniques to be able to arrest him. And he was just real, he was real sweaty and all that. So it was difficult. And so the most tragic thing to happen is I kneeled down on my name tag. It had barbs on the back of it. Like, ow! But anyway, I was able to successfully, apprehend him into without any kind of injury whatsoever. But as I was doing that, though, out of the dark, out of the middle of nowhere, I'm at pitch black dark. I heard shots were being fired at me. And with that, I looked up where the shots were being fired, and all I could see was the muzzle fire coming in the next shot. And so when you're in the dark and you're shooting at somebody, the brightness of the round coming out of the end of your barrel of your gun, that's all you see. That's all you see. That was my viewpoint as a law enforcement officer, and I had to get me and the suspect out of here before they shot one of us.
Right.
And they were just firing shots off. Well, you can imagine, you know, the reports are that, you know, Roy's going down. Roy is actually going out to his car. He's in his car, up under his carport, in his driveway, which is in his yard, which is away down from the street. I mean, you're like definitely in your driveway. And out of us, and the police officers reportedly parked their cars down the street, and they walk down the street in the dark, you know, maybe a street light.
All right.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're not, how often? I mean, now we do. As a matter of fact, I can't tell, you know, I did talk to, immediately I'm talking to some of my friends and going, what's going on down there? Because this is not typical of what's happening. And, I can't disclose names and all, but it's like, yeah, I mean, there was a day you used to say, keep your head up. But now it's like, keep your head down. You might get, you know, you just get this insecurity because, I mean, who's in their car in their own driveway, 5 feet, 10 feet from their patio door for the we go inside your house? You're thinking any moment that you know, the proverbial Al-Qaeda is going to show up and start shooting it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like,
especially not the law enforcement people that you you know what I'm saying? Not the people that's for you and protects you. And it's like your brain. How long is it going to take our brains to register that? And here's some of the things, and I really believe, you know, as we know, that we're trying to keep the conversation light, which means a viewpoint, a biblical viewpoint, is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And that this appears to be a major, major injustice. And what spirit is in the air? You know, what is over the air? What in the heck is Satan loosing in our airways that would cause anybody to say anything except, this is unjust? You know, this is unjust. How do we make this right? How do we change things? We're sorry. Psalms 41, I believe, was what we were talking about yesterday.
Right. That acknowledgement.
This is horrible.
Not normal procedure.
I mean, you know, forget about what your attorney says. I'm shot.
Exactly.
You know? I'm shot. You know, and only an angel. You know, I would say from a biblical perspective, only an angel kept 15 rounds, two deputies, firing into the car, firing at Roy Middleton in this little small area and hitting the house. You know, and
I saw what those bullets did to the car. You can only imagine what that would do to human flesh. I mean,
shattered. It shattered his, I believe it was left
femur.
Wow.
He was unable, when we communicated with him, he was unable to set up. But the thing is like, if we as Christians, and by the way, if you ever know what a vacuum feels like, it feels like right now, when it's like you can hear a pin drop with this huge injustice. Like, what's going on? Where is the church? It's the church that will begin to walk this out in humility before God and say, listen, there's a huge injustice here. There's a huge injustice here. And in that, God, what do you want us to do? How do we need to minister to Roy Middleton and his family and all the people of the county? How do we get peace? And murders have been happening. I mean, hotel rooms are being filled. The floors are being filled with blood. shootings this week, just shootings, you know, and it's over and over and over again. And by the way, that's not good. And we don't have to accept that. And if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, as the church, we can begin to pray and say, God, what is it? What has happened? And so I'm looking forward to an interview with Captain David Alexander of the Pensacola Police Department in Pensacola, in Escambia County, Pensacola, Florida. Emerald Coast is where that particular shooting took place. And we're going to have him with us today. We just look forward to hearing the results from the if he has access to it, the FDLE report. And our hearts go out to Roy. The one thing that Roy did ask of us, and I'm going to share it with all of our listeners, he said, would you pray? Would you pray for me and my family protection? Obviously pray for healing. And I can really empathize with a leg being needing to be healed.
Yeah.
And my goodness, and to pray for justice, you know, that justice would come. And God is a just God, by the way. In case you don't know this, God is a just God. And that's why we repent. That's why you go, dear God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. How do I make this right? And God then serves justice on his son, and we do what we can to make things right. But if we sit back in pride and go, I'm not going to do anything or say anything, God says, okay, well, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll bring justice, mm-hmm. right? And his justice. It's a little bit different,
yeah.
You know, and I just sense a wave of justice coming across America. We've been kind of talking about it and having a conversation about it. I do want to say this, that the Escambia County Sheriff's Department, the officers that work there that I know, this is not who they are, but mm-hmm. it's been a while since I worked there, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of great officers that work there, and a lot of great officers around the country, but you know, I've talked to doctors, and there's some doctors that are covering themselves and covering each other. It doesn't mean every doctor is bad. I've talked to teachers. There's great teachers, but there's also teachers unions that are giving bad teachers paychecks that needed to be fired a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, we can't just go to a different mindset and think that same mindset is not in law enforcement, where there's some that doesn't need to be on the payroll.
I know that's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's time for another occupation.
Mm.
There's other things that you can do, but you don't need a gun.
Anything.
This is not a video game.
No,
Roy
no.
is real. He's
that's
a human
right.
being made in the image and the likeness of God. And that's just like, it's a car. Let somebody have the car. You know what I'm saying? It's not worth shooting 15 times at somebody you think he's taking a car. And, you know, and even at the whole mindset that somebody's, you know, shooting at you, it's like, well, if you wouldn't have snuck up in the dark, or somebody has a shiny object in their hand, it's like, well, you wouldn't have snuck up in the dark, you wouldn't have seen the shiny object. You know what I'm saying? If you would have pulled up in a cruiser and turned your lights on and identified yourself as law enforcement, according to the Constitution, then, you know, you got to show them who you are. They don't know who you are. I mean, come on. I didn't know who that person was shooting at me in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, if I wasn't making the arrest, I would have shot back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? A jury of my peers would have said, I'd done that too.
That's right.
I would have not known who would have been dropped back there.
That's right.
You know, because you're supposed to identify yourself. You actually work for Roy Middleton, by the way. You are his law enforcement officer. That's how it's supposed to work. And so that's why you talk to Roy. You identify yourself who you are, and you honor him as a citizen of America, the citizen of Florida, and the citizen of your county. You work for Roy Middleton. And the person that you work for, you just shot. You know, and now you need to explain why you shot your boss. You know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I'm just telling you, that's in this like, oh, I never thought about that. I thought that I had a job with the county or the city or the state or the feds. Or I was like, no, actually, it's a government.
How that mindset changes, isn't it?
It's government by the people and for the people. That's why we respect the citizens. That's why we say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and how can I help you? When we give the citizen the, if there's any doubt, we let them, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt is why mm-hmm. we do things that way, because we don't know. It's better to let two guilty people go than to one innocent man to be put in jail. That's our whole premise, because why would we want to send it in? We definitely, and it's like, what has that? So I can't get off of this. But I was just listening to an interview done on CNN with Roy Middleton, and they were just this appears to be a very, very sweet man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Very gentle man. And your heart just breaks. It just breaks for the whole thing. And everybody's lawyered up. You know, that not everybody. I just know that according to the news reports, the people who are on the shooter side are lawyered up. And the lawyers, what we heard said, is that I can't talk to, the lawyers won't let me talk to him. And it's like, well, you're his employee.
Right.
Can you imagine? You're getting called to your boss's office and you send your lawyer and say, you know, my lawyer says I'm not able to talk to you right now. Right. And then you send a message back, you're fired. Wouldn't you do that to an employee?
Absolutely.
I mean, you just, you know, and it's just, and the interesting thing is, and this is why we're talking today and interviewing with Captain Alexander, and we're going to begin hopefully many interviews, including when we're asking, you know, Mr. Middleton, we want to speak with you and let you know we're praying for you and you want to hear your heart over this matter. But we want to repent for what's happened to you in our city, in our county, in the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. You did not deserve to be shot. You did not deserve to be spoken to the way that you were spoken to after you were shot, and or shamed. It's like, you know, it's embarrassing. He's being put in the boat trying to explain his movement. it's like, come on, stop. Just stop already. And if it takes that long for somebody that's on a cruise ship in the lap of luxury to go through all those mental processes to realize they're about to tip over and the boat's about to sink, when you're firing ever how many of the 15 rounds at somebody, it's going to take them a lot longer to realize, how do I get, this would be my mindset, how do I get from my car to 8 feet away to my door over there without getting shot?
Right. Right.
I'm not trying to have a conversation with the darkness that's firing these fiery barrels of, you know, I'm thinking like, and as another time, I remember I was practicing for an almost anything goes type thing they had years ago. And, the local, station was putting it on, WER TV3 was putting it on back then. It was this thing, this kind of game thing that you would do. And you practice by climbing ropes and all of that. And when I was practicing for, I'll tell you after this break, and you're listening to VFN Radio. You can find out more at VFNTV.com. But I'm going to tell you about where I began to be shot at and how the Escambia County Sheriff's Department came out and rescued the situation and got the shooter. Now the things are kind of flipped. It's like, now we need to rescue this, we'll talk more about that. We are excited about, you know, having a conversation about justice.
No doubt.
Because finally the FDLE report is back. And this is about keeping the conversation light, the light of the gospel, getting a biblical perspective. And remember, we just talked about yesterday, and you got to hear this. I forget the name of the post. You can find it. But we talked about Psalms 41, 1 through 3. You know, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. Right now, Roy Middleton is shot. An injustice appears to have taken place. And we need, as the church, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about people who want power or don't want power or paychecks or whatever. I'm talking about somebody who's made in the image and likeness of God that has a shattered femur, right?
Right.
A shattered femur. I'm telling you, you know, I can empathize with, you know, some of the physical part, not the emotional part. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I've been talking about the police. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, when the ones you expected to protect you are the ones coming after you, you don't know where to go. It's obviously God. And I was talking about, you know, what does it feel like to be shot at, you know, in regards to that. Those soldiers, we thank you for all the soldiers that have stood on the front lines for us in Iraq and Afghanistan and throughout the world. And you know what it's like. And I know what it's like being in law enforcement for almost 10 years. But I wasn't in law enforcement this time we're going to talk about, but I was practicing for this sporting event type thing. And a competition that was going on by WEAR-TV3 in the Emerald Coast, Pensacola area, where today that Sue Strong is the anchor there. And by the way,
yes,
a beautiful woman, if you want to get a chance to meet, woman who loves the Lord and just bold. And but she's been around for a long time. She interviewed my father years ago.
Did she?
When she first got there. First got there, and he was in leadership back then as a county commissioner, Zora Lancaster. And he was telling about how it was when she first got there and all that. And just a beautiful, beautiful lady. And so here I'm in this big, huge, open field. And believe it or not, yes, Pat, believe it or not, I am trying to climb this rope. You climb a rope.
Do we have pictures? That's what I... Do we have any kind of
that was before that? YouTube.
Oh.
I do have to say this. I do want to say this. To all the ones who have all your junk on YouTube and people are dogging you out, this is the truth. If we had YouTube in our generation, you would not be alone. You know, YouTube is only documenting what God has seen in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no past generation that could sit here and criticize you because there's a video that won't go away. But realize in heaven, outside the forgiveness of God and the grace of God, that he has a book of remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
But when we repent and ask God to forgive us, he actually forgives us, and he deletes the he no longer leaves the video in his heart uploaded. But men do. They play it over and over. Did I ever tell you about the time? Yeah, it's like... Yes, you did, Uncle Bobby. Anyway, so so here we are. No, there's no pictures. But Daphne was there, and a realtor in the Pensacola area was there. And his name is Gary Watson. And he has a realtor today, as a matter of fact, there. I believe he's, I can't think of the name of his company. I will, Exit Realty.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm climbing this rope, you know. I'm just trying to not deflex my biceps too much, and, you know, I'm just bulked up and stuff. Actually, I'm gasping for air and throwing a pulley system up because you got to do the sports stuff and all. And as I'm going up, I finally come back down and stand on a bench. There was a bench that was there. Can you imagine you're at this big, huge open field, and there's woods to the side of the field? And all of a sudden, I heard this... I didn't know what it was. And it was just me out there at this point because everybody else had already... I'm still trying to climb the rope. And they just kind of went... They were going to this church building or something that was over there. And all of a sudden, I went, "Dunk!" I didn't know what that was. The next thing, I was hit in the back of my leg from... it just felt like a boulder. It was like it's this huge... I can't describe... not even a bat, maybe like a car hit me in my leg.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But then you like look around. It's like, it's an empty field. It's an empty field. You know, what happened, you know? And all of a sudden you start hearing, doop, doop, doop.
Ooh.
And all these rounds are hitting the ground around me and it's throwing sand up. And sand, what happens, that thump sound was bullets going into the sand and then spraying, dirt up.
Right.
And so here I am. I'm like way out in this field. I got to go way. I got to get behind this building. It's amazing it kicked in, you know, at that age. I got to get behind this building, and which I suppose will be, I guess, the shooter's not at. And I can't use my leg because my leg's shot. And so I'm on one leg and two hands trying to get the whole distance. Why this bullets are following me all the way, hitting the sand. Doop, 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 doop. And that's how it was going on. It was hitting the sand.
Wow.
And I'm going, "I'm being shot. I'm being shot at," or something. They're bullet shooting. And of course, you know, I play around way too much because they just started laughing.
They didn't believe
you. Oh, gosh.
You know, I'm dying and they're laughing. And I finally get behind the building And I grabbed my leg, and I'm leaning against this church building or whatever. It was a church building, I believe. And I'm holding my leg, and Daphne goes, "It'll be all right." I'm like, "I'm shot!" You know? She's always calming. She's very calming. Big shout out to Daphne. She was trying to calm me. Right. Like, she's my older sister. And I was two. No, anyway, so no. And so Gary takes his brand new Lincoln Continental back when they were like biggest houses. Mm. And he put me bleeding and all and took me to the emergency room to be treated from being shot. And the Scambia County Sheriff's Department immediately goes out and begins to surround the area. At that time, I think my dad was even a county commissioner around that time.
Oh, wow.
And they went out there and protected, as soon as they found out, they protected and got apprehended the suspects that were in the woods that were shooting. And they said they were shooting at water and it was ricocheting off water or whatever. I'm like, man, that water moved around a lot.
Mm.
But it was Doug Heist, Deputy Doug Heist, that got this man. And without people like deputies who go out and risk their life like that, you could be dead today.
Yeah.
I mean, so every officer is not like that. As a matter of fact, let me tell you about Doug. You know, Deputy Doug Heist, there was a robbery that was taking place at a bank in that county. And my mother's twin sister was working at a realtor, some sort of business. I forget what it was, but right beside the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this service window where people would come and some exchange would happen over the service window right by the bank in this small complex. Well, the robbers come in and they go in there, and God just happens to just lead her out to go buy stamps or something that day. She would have been the one taken hostage. And they take the first person hostage in there. And they say, "We have somebody in hostage. You know, you're going to have to give the money to the bank. Bank has to give up the money because we have a business next door. We have somebody at gunpoint." And what they did was the suspect, the robber, duct taped his gun to his hand so he would not drop his gun. He backed into the corner up under the service window and held the victim at gunpoint while his partner was robbing the bank that was right next door. And my aunt realized it probably wasn't a good time to go back into the office.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. She wasn't even worried about being paid for it. And so here comes the Escambia County Sheriff's Department. I'm talking, these are good officers out here that's laid down their life for us. So we can't put everybody in the same boat. And we're getting a biblical perspective because blessed are the peacemakers. That's peace officers, people that stand every night in the gap for us, that they're the ones that we call.
Mm-hmm.
And they come running for us and not against us. And so Doug shows up. Doug Heist shows up, and he's going to come in and try to apprehend the suspect. And so he's trying. They don't know this is going on. They don't realize the suspect's behind that service window. And so Doug shows up, and he works his way into the front foyer area of the office on the outside of that service window, and he's trying to locate the suspect. The suspect's talking on some phone or something. And so Doug takes a chance. Doug takes a chance just to take a quick peek. And he sticks his head in the service window to be able to see if he could locate the suspect. And little did he know, the suspect was right under the service window and shot Doug and killed him.
Mm.
Shot him in the head and killed him right there.
Mm.
In that county. Listen, officers have given their lives for us. We got to be careful not to put them all in the same boat. Doug Heist gave his life that day for the same people in the community. There was no filtering justice. It was justice for everyone. He didn't know who was going to be in there. He didn't know who was being robbed. He didn't know. Understand, everybody's not the same. I mean, I'm telling you, you can go to doctors and doctors today. We need a mediator like Dr. Ben Carson talks about between patients and doctors, because doctors immediately start covering for each other instead of saying, "Hey, this lady needs help. You did something wrong. You need to talk to them and work things out." Instead, they go, "Oh, my goodness, you can't say nothing, you know." Teachers do the very same thing. teachers union, not all teachers, not all doctors, but this happens. And so we can't think that's strange when all of a sudden you get to law enforcement, that there's some folks that don't need to be teaching, some folks that don't need to be in the medical profession, and some people don't need to be the police, period.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because you give them a gun, an authority. And it doesn't mean everyone. So Doug gave his life. And then I think about Don, Officer Don Cook of the Escambia County Sheriff's Department. One of the nicest men you'll ever meet. He was just so nice. And he was always there for you, always backing you up. You know, and I was a deputy with him. And he was, if something's going down, you can pretty much, his cruiser is going to be behind you. And he's going to be there. And he was just so polite to everybody, nice and kind. And all of a sudden, there was a suspect that was coming from Santa Rosa, a county that's close to Escambia County. And Santa Rosa law enforcement officers were on a hot pursuit, which means they're going to cross over the county lines, because if you're pursuing someone, then you have the authority to keep pursuing them, even if it crosses over jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
And so Don and I believe a few other officers were working that night, and they said, the suspect's coming, he's coming west on Interstate 10. He just broke the county lines of Santa Rosa and Escambia County. Can we? And so it's like immediately, there he goes. We'll put up a roadblock. So he goes up between Highway 29 and Interstate 10, and he puts his, they start parking their cruisers and all to be able to block this suspect, this criminal that's trying to break, you know, hurt people and things, rob, and all these different things going on. And so these officers, these brave officers, you have to understand, these brave officers are putting their life on the line every night. So he parks his car. Why does he park his car? Because he wants to catch the person that just robbed you, that just murdered your loved one, that just hurt you. That's what they're doing. And he parks his cruiser there, and he goes to get out of the way, but he didn't make it to get out of the way in the time, and the suspect runs over Officer Don Cook and kills Don Cook on Interstate 10 up under Highway 29 in Escambia County. Be careful. Understand that every officer is not the same, but the ones who are not right need to go. They don't need to be there. And so today, if you go into the Escambia County Sheriff's Department and you walk right in the front door, and you'll look at some etched glass. In the etched glass, you're going to see Don Cook. You'll get to see the Don that we worked with. And you get to see
Doug
Heist. And you're going to get to see the ones that gave their life in the line of duty. This is crazy what just happened with the Roy Middleton situation. It doesn't make sense, because it doesn't make sense. It's not the way officers used to be trained.
Right.
Officers work for the community. That the best thing that could happen to an officer is for you to write in when they do something good and write a note or something. And the sheriffs normally always go, hey, I just want to let you know, citizen so-and-so was very pleased with what you did. Why? Because the perspective is that the citizens elect a sheriff to represent them as the high law enforcement officer of the land, to be able to make sure that you're safe, your constitutional rights is safe, and that you have safe, you're safe on your property, and they're there to protect you. And that didn't happen with Roy Middleton. I don't know why. FDLE reports out. Like I said, we're going to be having an interview with Captain David Alexander and hopefully several other officers to help us begin to understand and help, you know, Mr. Middleton get the question answered. The question he wants answered really is why? What happened? What happened? I've been talking about is trying to help us all get a perspective that remember that if they're complaining today about teachers' unions and tenure at universities and all, and because there's some teachers and professors, they say, that gets tenure that can't be fired or whatever, and they need to be removed from campus. And they said they can't fire them. But by the way, that does not mean every professor is bad. But it does mean that bad professor is bad. You know, you know what I'm saying? You gotta dissect that. In regards to teachers, and that there's a particular teacher situation that doesn't do well at teaching, you know, and all of a sudden, but you find out the tenure system protects the professor who doesn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody says anything about it. People just go, well, you know, he's tenured and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, but he's producing, or she's producing something, some crazy stuff.
Right.
You know, anti-American rhetoric, you know, or whatever. And so then you go to the school system, and nobody says anything about that. Nobody says a thing about that at all. Then you go to the school system where you have teachers. You have, oh, my goodness, beautiful teachers. I mean, I think about so many of them come to mind. And they're excellent teachers. And if it wasn't for them, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're so underpaid for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of that, there's some teachers that don't need to be there. They just don't. They couldn't find another job. Listen, they have pastors that are interviewed by ABC News that are atheists, and you can see this on the VFN Torch. And they said, "I couldn't find no other trade." Listen, he doesn't need to be a pastor. He don't know Jesus.
Hello.
He admitted he don't know Jesus. He said, "I'm an atheist." So even in the context of that as pastors, we got to stand up. It's like, you don't belong there. You don't. You're not even a Christian.
That's right.
That's right.
But just like that, all of a sudden now you have a teacher that everybody doesn't stand up and say, you just need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you know, there's so many different opportunities out there. This is just not your thing. This is just not your thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And you can just, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. And then there's doctors. There's doctors out there that are great. Oh, my goodness. I think about Dr. Ben Carson with being able to, the neurosurgeons. I'm thinking about, you know, open heart surgeries and beautiful surgeons and practitioners and specialists. And I mean, every day they're just helping us out. You know, I think about my doctors, just great, great people. And, but then there's some doctors that the only thing they think about is the bottom line. Just like the teacher, the only thing that bad teacher thinks about is their paycheck. Just like the professor, who all they thought about was themselves and not the students or the America they were affecting. And just like the atheist pastor, which is not a pastor at all, but was over like about 800 to 1,000 people who thought they were actually under a Christian pastor. But they did have a black line across his face, so they might have recognized who it was. Didn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That now, I mean, that doctors, you know, immediately they just kick in to protect yourself. But you're talking about a human life. You're talking about, did you injure that woman? Did you injure that man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they worse off now than they were? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Than they were after being with you? Talk to them about it. Work it out. You know, instead of going into, hey, I'm lawyered up and this looks like this is going to go on, you're creating. You don't belong there. If that's how, you don't belong in the medical profession if that's how you see your patients. Because patients are people. Students are people.
Mm-hmm.
College students are people. And by the way, everybody's creating the image and the likeness of God, and God is just. And guess what? Mr. Middleton, Roy Middleton, is people.
Mm.
So we can't just look at the law enforcement and think, well, that it only goes that way with law enforcement. No, it's human nature, the negative part of human nature that would try to protect something that was wrong. And it happens across, because we're outside of Jesus Christ, we're dark. And we still need to make things. That's why we have to keep everything authentic and in the light. We need people in our life to help us, you know, give us a viewpoint of something that we're missing. Do I have a blind spot type thing? And so not every officer, just like not every teacher, just like not every professor, just not like every doctor is bad. There's more good than bad. But let's not get past the fact that the atheist that doesn't need to be preaching, the professor that needs to take tenure and bury it in his backyard, okay? And then the teachers, when you think about the school system in Washington, D.C., when the superintendent, they hire her to come change everything, but the school system chose themselves over the kids, and they're still the lowest performing kids, and they fired her. We talked about that on VFN radio. They chose themselves over the kids, and now they're going to complain about the kids who weren't chose over money and their position. And so that doesn't mean every teacher is bad, but it means those ones that chose their paychecks and their system over the kids? They are. They don't. They need to find another job. Just start again somewhere else.
We'll train you. We'll relocate you. We'll do something.
We'll train you in what? Not this.
That's right.
Not this.
Something else.
Right. And in law enforcement, you have to understand that in law enforcement, they work for you, the American citizen. These are representative government. And so that it's a government by the people and for the people. You allow them to serve you in a particular place, in a position, whether it's governor, Congress, Senate, president, sheriff, the chief, city council, county commission, that type of thing. And we're honored that they would really take that on. I mean, that's a huge undertaking. But in every fact, we're honored, but they still have the expectations that, you know, especially since you're carrying the biggest gun around, that you're going to carry that in humility. And that you don't point it at the citizens. I mean, this is why we signed the Declaration of Independence away from the king, because they pointed their guns at us. The citizens.
Right.
Read the Declaration of Independence. Get educated on the founding fathers. That's why we did that. And then they wrote in the Second Amendment. That was to protect us from people pointing their guns at us wrongly. And so not moving from a dark figure, you know, early morning hours in your own, you just think about, my goodness. It's like, look around before you walk outside your door. You don't know what's going to happen. Not because all officers are bad. I've already said it. Listen to the whole program here. It's not what I said. But it only takes one bullet, you know, and we will be talking about the teacher in Georgia, you know, the brave teacher in Georgia.
Antoinette Huff.
Yeah, Tough. Antoinette Tough, who she says, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, bullets don't have a name on them. They don't have a name on them. But those 15 bullets, those 15 rounds, imagine getting out of your car. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just trying to say, listen, Psalms 41 says this void, this vacuum of silence that we have right now, that we need to say, God, how do we make this right?
That's right.
How do we make this right? We're sorry. Forgive us for this taking place. Forgive us for the bloodshed. And listen, you're listening to somebody, because where VFN Radio and VFN TV is, there were so many murders in 1 year, They were mapped out. Every particular location, they were mapped out. And we went to every one of those places where there was bloodshed. And we repented and said, God, forgive us for the murder. Forgive us for the bloodshed that's here. Is that not right?
That's right.
You know, forgive us for the bloodshed. Lord, we ask you for justice. I mean, there was somebody that was killed in a motel and their body was just thrown out. Remember that? Or thrown out, or an apartment complex, just thrown out.
Yeah.
And people, life was just going on. We're like, hey, dear God, we're sorry for this. Forgive us, God. And immediately justice started happening. They started locating that particular murder was caught in New Orleans, and the justice started rolling in. But since then, there's just been, nobody's paying attention to the murder. People count. Everybody counts. Everybody's creating the image and likeness of God. And just like we'll hear, I'm sure, with Captain David Alexander, and you can see him saying, this homicide, these murders have to stop. That's what we should be saying. We shouldn't be saying, well, statistically, even though Bobby is dead, this is less Bobby's than it was 2 weeks ago. It's like, Bobby's dead. God's going to hold us accountable for this blood. Besides, we should care about Bobby and Bobby's brothers and Bobby's mothers and Bobby's friends, and then the community that has to live with the blood-stained soil. We need to stop this. Dear God, have mercy. Forgive us for the sin of murder, and not having compassion, and not being there for the weak. God, show us how to respond. Rise up your church to begin this conversation that brings healing to our nation. In Jesus' name. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us. Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day that day on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.